This is Small Business Big World, our weekly podcast prepared by the team at Paper Trails. Owning and running a small business is hard. Each week, we'll dive into the challenges, headaches, trends, fun, and excitement of running a small business. After all, small businesses are the heartbeat of America, and our team is here to keep them beating. Welcome to Small Business Big World, another exciting episode. This week we have Connor Kennedy of Acadia Benefits. We're going to talk about some really exciting things, employee benefits. Certainly, I know I get the warm and fuzzies every year. I get to talk to Connor about our employee benefits. So
absolutely.
Thank you. Welcome very much for coming. We appreciate it. So
thanks for having me.
Yeah. A couple of quick housekeeping things. Be sure to like, follow, subscribe. We're all over the web. So Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you get your podcasts. Follow us, Small Business Big World. Visit smallbusinessbigworld.com. Follow us on our Small Business Big World Facebook group. Lots of conversation there. And if you have any questions for us or for our guests, be sure to email us at podcast@papertrails.com. So, you know, certainly, Connor, when we're, you know, you and I get together once a year, we talk about our benefits. It's a big cost, right? That's, you know, what are you guys doing in terms of preparing benefit plans for your clients that are affordable and meet their needs and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, of course it comes down to every specific customer on what their needs are. I'll pull this closer. So it comes down to whatever their needs are, you know, whether they're a small employer or a plus 50 employer, whether they're an experience rated group, needs change.
Sure.
Also, it budgets change, you know, so it's a little bit different for everyone, but something that we really like to do, I guess, put a plug in for Acadia Benefits, right, is really learn the company's culture first, you know, see what they're trying to offer their employees, whether they're just trying to check the box of getting a benefits package available to recruit and retain, or, you know, trying to provide the best benefits possible, you know, within a budget always. So that's sure. That's kind of our goal. And the hardest part about it is really aggressively marketing what's available. And as you know, right, in the small group market, and we'll get into it in a little bit, but in the small group market, it's all based on where you're located, what's the age of your population, and things of that nature. So there's some things you can't change, but with a really aggressive marketing strategy, you can really find plans that best fit your needs.
That's great. What kind of benefits are you seeing folks offer? The health insurance is the big one, right? Yep. What else are we seeing people go out there with?
Yeah, absolutely. So something to keep in mind, you know, some small employers come to us and they just think that they can't offer plans. Maybe they think they can just offer a medical plan, something like that. But there's tons of benefits available to you, whether it's medical, dental, life and disability, voluntary products, right? Critical illness, accident, hospital indemnity. All of these policies go down, you know, to about the four employee count, sure. Right? On a dental plan, you only need two people to elect the coverage, and you can have a group plan for as long as you'd like, right? So these are just, and those are low cost type benefits.
I always tell people, division. Get a dental. Like exactly. Dental's $35 a month, right? It's not generally a huge cost,
and people love it, right? Yeah. And it's cheaper than buying an individual dental policy for yourself or your family. And on the employer side, right, you can contribute 50% of the premium,
sure,
and really get that cost down, but kind of the elephant in the room is the medical plan always. It's the most expensive by far out of any of the policies available to employers. And that's where we spend most of our time.
Yeah. That is the most expensive one, right? Certainly, I think, you know, when we looked at our stuff, it's $100,000 for just us, for our benefit package. Mm-hmm. And that's majority health insurance. And I'm fortunate to have a very seasoned staff, but that also means that the age of my staff is a little older, which drives that cost up, right? That's, you know, one of the challenges.
Definitely. And, you know, it's not just in the small group market. I mean, that's primarily what drives pricing in the small group market is the age of your population. But of course, if you're a large employer and you have a aging, stable workforce, like most companies are here in the state and, you know, throughout the country, you can see that your premiums are going to increase with trend and also with the age of your population. But to get into a few types of medical plans and different networks, right, this is where you can start to play around with price as well. Whether you roll a PPO plan, right? You may know a PPO plan that's national coverage. You can go in and out of network benefits. You can go anywhere. You can live here in Maine, live in Florida, utilize the PPO plan in network. don't need a primary care physician. Or you can move to an HMO plan. You can offer them together as well, an HMO plan, a narrowed network. Need to have a primary care physician. You have to stay in that network to receive benefits. And then there's kind of the split. We call it a POS plan, kind of the best of both worlds, is where you have national coverage. So you go in and out of network benefits, but you also need to have a primary care physician for referrals. So there's
and that's the alphabet soup, right? I mean, that's, you know, we talk about the PPO, the HSA, the HMO, the HRA, the, you know, all those kind of different add-ons, right? I mean, I know we see a lot of folks that do, you know, have their health insurance plan, but then they're contributing to an HSA health savings account, right? What's that kind of look like usually? Does that help lower those premiums?
Yes. Lots of acronyms, right? So we have HSA, HRA, FSA, I call a dependent care account, right? So starting with an HSA, I think these are awesome. And it does require employee education, but a qualified high deductible health plan can be paired with a health savings account. And really what that means is that you have a high deductible health plan where all services go toward the deductible. Say you have a $4,000 deductible plan.
So you go to the doctor.
You go to the doctor.
You got to pay out of pocket,
right? You go to the specialist. You go to the hospital. You go to the pharmacy. Whatever it is, you're paying up until you hit that deductible. Once you've hit that deductible, the coinsurance kicks in. And again, this is
getting the weeds,
right? Every plan gets different, but the coinsurance is going to kick in once you hit that deductible. That's just the cost share between you and the insurance company. So on a high deductible health plan, that's the first time the plan starts sharing cost with you. It's when you've hit that deductible. Now they do that because the high deductible health plan is the only plan you're allowed to put dollars away tax-free into a health savings account. And I would say the health savings account is the best of all worlds. So you get to payroll deduct tax-free. Those dollars grow tax-free. They roll over every single year in your account tax-free. And then you use those dollars on qualified medical expenses tax-free as well.
And the employer can contribute to that account on behalf of the employee if they want to, right?
Absolutely. That's a great way to recruit and retain employees is by even doing a match program.
Yep.
We've seen a lot, right? If you put 100 in, we'll put 100 in.
Okay.
Things like that. So you have the employees investing in their own HSA as well as the employer. And again, we call these the healthcare 401ks. They just grow and grow and grow. You can use them to support your family. And then down the line, right? Not everyone hits their deductible every year.
Right.
So it makes sense for a lot of individuals to pay a lower premium, put some dollars away into a health savings account, and then if someday they need to use those dollars to offset medical costs,
they
have it there for them. Exactly.
Right. Which it's not like I speak out of turn here, but an FSA, those are use or lose it, right?
Absolutely. So the FSA works a little bit like a health savings account, but there is a cap. So you're only allowed to contribute up to a certain dollar amount. Every year, the IRS sets those limits. And if you don't use those dollars, you do forfeit those dollars over at the end of the year. So like a HSA, you roll those dollars over. The FSA, I always say, can only open up an FSA or contribute to an FSA if you know for a fact you have medical expenses during a year, right? You pick up a prescription, you get contacts, things like that.
I remember at the end of my parents used to have an FSA and they used to go like, to CVS and buy Advil and, you know, get new contacts and all that stuff all the way at the end of the year because they would lose it, right? So that's certainly a thing that you need to keep an eye on. You don't want to lose that.
Right. And there's a great place is the FSAstore.com. You can go on if you're looking to spend down some dollars, go on the FSA store and they just have hundreds of items that are eligible expenses that you can spend down some of those dollars. You know, some employers have a rollover, right? You can roll over $500 in a year or something like that. But personally, I tend to lean toward that HSA plan just because of the ability to roll those funds over. But of course, if your employer doesn't offer a high deductible health plan, FSA is the next best thing.
Right. How do you explain this to small businesses, right? This is super complicated, right? I mean, we talk about, you know, even regular insurance. Most people are familiar with their car insurance and their home insurance.
Yep.
But health insurance is a whole different, you know, all employee benefits are a whole different game. How do you explain that to small business people? I mean,
you know, not everything at once, probably over time, building a relationship with the customer and having meetings and talking through their options, right? Something I do want to bring up is that HRA, a health reimbursement arrangement. So that's a really cool program. That's an employer-funded benefit. And I have a note here that says shrinking deductible. And what that really means is say you could put in a 3,000 PPO plan, for example, or even higher, you know, say a 4,000 PPO plan. And what you tell your employees is like, hey, you know, we have this higher deductible health plan, but we have this health reimbursement arrangement on the back end. So we will pay, you know, the last $2,000 of your deductible out of pocket, right? The employer will.
Yep.
And as the employer knows, not everyone hits their deductible every year. So you're saving on premium costs and you're kind of self-funding a health reimbursement arrangement for folks that do hit their deductible. And it really makes everyone else's, your employee's deductible, down to a 2,000 plan when you're paying for a 4,000 plan. So those are ways to tweak.
I'd never heard about doing it at the end. I've heard people say, hey, I'll give you money towards your HRA, right? But I guess I've never heard of it. You know, they have to prove that it's the end, right?
Right.
You have to use half of it and we'll give you half of it.
Exactly.
Right? That's an interesting way of
doing it. And there's tons of vendors that will support that. You know, there's automatic claim feeds between carriers and HRA vendors that is seamless for the employee, which is great stuff. So there's tons of different options to support an HRA. And just one last piece on the HRA, mostly for larger employers, is to build a wellness platform that by completing wellness goals, the employer contributes to an HRA for them, right? So you can earn up to $500 in any year in an HRA and say that rolls forward for the employee, right? So there's different ways to kind of craft wellness programs with an HRA. You can do that with an HSA too, but we do like the HSA dedicated benefits. The health reimbursement arrangement. It's a good way to really shrink that deductible.
So going back to how do you manage this with small businesses, right? I mean, we're all overwhelmed with everything we've got going on. I mean, you talked about really identifying the culture, which I think is great.
Yep.
You know, understanding is it checking the box? Is it just, hey, my employees need something? Or is it really, you know, you want to make sure you're taking care of your employees. And certainly I think I probably fall into that bucket and, you know, it costs an awful lot to do that. So, you know, what strategies, I know you talked about the HSA, FSA, you know, are there different plans that you can offer, different levels, things like that? What does that all look like?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in all market spaces, whether it's small or large, you tweak cost really by changing deductible levels, changing co-insurance, changing co-pays, and then really tweaking the pharmacy benefit. Now, as you know, in the small group market, there's a bunch of canned plans, right? So we call that a really rigid market. You know, there's not a ton of strategy that can go into place there besides an aggressive marketing strategy. So every year, right, your broker brings you a spreadsheet that shows what your current plan option is and everything else that's available to you, right? And if we know you, right, saying, you know, I love the gold plans, you know, we might not look at bronze plans or something like that. But
you can also say, hey, we want to look at the gold plan, but we also may want to offer a bronze plan, right? And say, hey, I'll cover the majority of the bronze plan. Mm-hmm. And if you as the employee want the better coverage, it's going to cost you a little more, right?
Absolutely. I think offering dual options or even triple options is a great tactic for employers to, I guess, one, make your employee population happy, and then two, control your employer costs. For example, right, you could put in a bronze option, which is a low-cost premium to the employer. You could fund the employee tier at 100%, for example. You could pair that with a silver or a gold option and say, you know what, we have this core bronze option available to you. We pay that at 100%. But if you'd like to buy up to a silver or a gold, you know, you pay the difference.
Sure.
So it gives employees a choice and an option to kind of give them whatever fits their needs, right? If they know they're hitting their deductible because they have ongoing medical expenses, they might want that gold. If you're a young employee that says, you know, I just need kind of some catastrophic coverage. If something horrible were to happen to me, then
once a year, exactly, or whatever, right?
You know, exactly. The bronze is a great way to go.
So you said, you know, keeping your employees happy, right? When was the last time you went to an employee meeting and all the employees were happy when you showed up to talk about benefits?
Probably 2 years ago when rates were nice, you know, across the state of Maine here. But we've since seen that change. Yeah, you know, benefits isn't something that people love to talk about, right? Because we'll get into it a little bit later. Like everything else, I mean, there's a trend, obviously, on medical and dental expenses that continues to skyrocket. And what we try to do for our customers is maintain the control of that cost. But there's a lot of things that are out of everyone's hands.
Sure.
And by having the right structure in place, like we were talking about, HRAs, HSAs, to support employees when they have medical expenses but maybe pay lower on premium is a great strategy.
What are you seeing in general with your employers, your clients? What are they paying towards these benefits, right? I mean, I think it's certainly dependent on the business, but are people seeing a fixed amount and then, you know, the employee pays the difference? Are we splitting it, you know, 80-20 or 50-50? Yep. I mean, what are you seeing with most of your clients? How are they managing that?
So a couple of things there. If you're a small employer and you're trying to start a group health plan, carriers have participation requirements that you need to fulfill. So you can't just say, hey, you know what? I'm going to contribute 30% to the medical premium and think that you're going to start a group health plan. No one's going to take the plan.
Right.
It's going to be too expensive.
Which that we've seen a lot of our clients say, hey, I want to offer benefits, mm-hmm. but I can't afford it. I want to give them something, but then they'll be in roles. And then you can't get it. Even if you have three people that want to get in, you know, the other 30 won't go in. And it's a real challenge to a lot of small businesses.
That 75% participation requirement doesn't count employees that have coverage elsewhere. Mm-hmm. But if you have a group of employees that doesn't have coverage today and they decide not to take your plan, that counts against you. And you won't be able to kind of jumpstart a group health plan. So what we're seeing in the small group market is for employers, you know, we do have employers do the 50-50 cost share, but we squeak by on participation. And I hate telling people how much they need to pay towards something, but just from looking at our block of business, it's 65% and up on the employee tier in the small group mm-hmm. block. And then if you want to bring on a dependent, you pay the difference. That's sure. that's the cost to you. So we see that a ton as a strategy. I think 65% is a great landing point and, you know, starting point for a small employer. I'm talking, you know, sub 30, sub 50 right. employees.
So if you're looking at, say, it's $500 or $600 a month total, mm-hmm. the employer is paying probably 400 of that, 450, something like that. And the employee is going to pay the difference if yep. that's the, you know, category. And certainly, again, those premiums that I just threw out are totally yep. wild yep. guesses, yep. you know, and it changes, you know, all the time, depending
on what. It's different for everyone. It really is. You know, you could have a young brewery, right? And then you could have a retirement home, right? And the same plans, completely different structure pricing. And costs. Yep.
I know. And I think that's one of the hard things is, you know, when we talk to our clients, they say, well, I talked to Joey and he's got $300 a month he pays for his employees and he pays all of it. Why are you telling me it's mm-hmm. $750 for my employees? And, you know, certainly it's, I have no expertise in this mm-hmm. and, you know, I say call Connor, right?
Right, right.
But it's hard because—
Location, right, age.
Yeah, it's all those factors yep. That come into it.
And absolutely.
And that's a killer. So, and I think, you know, I feel when I grew up, I guess, not that long ago, but I feel like, you know, my father worked for the town. We had good benefits. It was never anything we had to worry about. And then I became self-employed and that
yep.
everything changed.
My mother worked for the school system.
Right. It was the same thing, right? Yep. So we had good benefits growing up. We went to the doctor and we didn't pay anything. And those were the good old days where you went to the doctor, you paid your $20 copay and you came home. And I think those days are long gone, right? I mean, and I think we as consumers, you know, I think the health insurance companies have probably tried or have been trying to change our buying habits, right? Just as we shop for anything, you know, maybe shop for, I know there's, you know, places here where you can get an MRI for a quarter of the cost of going to the hospital, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So it's trying to shop for your health care rather
yeah, than. Yeah, absolutely. And carriers design plans based on who they have the best contracts with. And that's really getting into the weeds. But, you know, by going to stay exactly what you're saying, instead of getting an MRI at a hospital, going to a freestanding facility, you may pay a whole lot less. By going to an urgent care facility instead of the emergency room, right? Urgent care is most likely a copay. Emergency room is most always deductible.
And there's insurance. Urgent care in every corner now.
Exactly, like. Exactly. So it's those types of things. It's being knowledgeable of where you should seek care before just saying, I'm going to go get care. Right. Of course, if it's an emergency, go to the emergency room, right? But if you have a sore throat, right, a pink eye, rash, fever, have a small cut. It's like those are urgent care.
Sure.
And then you start there, you'll start to save some dollars on your plan. The last thing I want to talk about for employer contribution is in the large group market. We see a 70-30 cost share split across all tiers. That's really the landing point for a large employer. And it only kind of goes up from there, you know, maybe a little bit more to the employee tier, but there's more often than not, there is some sort of contribution, whether it's 50-50 to the employee spouse, employee child, family tier.
Yeah, which that's where the big dollars come
in. Yep,
I mean, absolutely. I know on our plan, that's, you know, it's triple the cost to put everybody on there. So put the kids on there and everything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what there's, say we can't get into, you know, health insurance right away. That's the, you know, big elephant in the room. It's expensive. You know, we're not ready. What kind of lower cost or, you know, unique benefits are people doing? You know, we talked about the dental. That's an inexpensive one. But is there anything else out there that people are doing?
Yeah. So like you said, dental, vision, voluntary products. These really aren't going to break the bank for an employer. And we even see most employers, especially on the vision, right? You've seen those rates pick up 100% of the cost of some of those policies. So dental, vision, we've seen some employers pick up 100% of the cost on a accident or a critical illness or a hospital indemnity plan. So that's some kind of, it's kind of interesting to think about, right? It's those policies are very, very low dollar.
Most of those policies are less than an hour of work, right?
Exactly.
$10, $15 a month.
They're probably less than what you're paying a monthly on a, for one of your single employees.
That's right. They're less than lunch.
On the medical plan. Right. So those are plans that, one, your employee is going to really value by working at your, you know, at your company to have. And again, they're not going to be anywhere close to the medical plan. We kind of call these low, no cost benefit solutions. And there's a few other items I'd like to talk about. You know, lifestyle benefits are interesting. There's a program called COMPT, and it's basically kind of like an enhanced employee stipend program. So it's an app. You can give your employees, say, $500 a year. It's tax-free. They can use those dollars to go to use them on wellness or, you know, to get their tires changed, or coffee, food, you know, whatever, right? But it's just kind of a little perk program that your employees appreciate. And again, these are low dollar items. Like we were just talking about low, no cost insurance plans. Home and auto insurance is an interesting one, mostly for large employers. But if you can implement a group home and auto policy, again, it's no cost to the employer, but it's cheaper for the employee. Anything you buy in a group is cheaper. Sure. So that's kind of an interesting program.
That's an interesting choice. So you're saying put everyone together and say, hey, we're going to pool all of our car insurance and we want to 30 cars in the parking lot.
Absolutely.
We want to get coverage on, right?
Absolutely.
And then you have, you know, a P&C agent go out and group. That's an interesting
kind of. So there's group home and auto. Emergency savings accounts is an interesting one. So it's basically a financial safety net so employees don't have to dip into their retirement. You know, just have a little emergency savings account built up for each employee that you bring on. So that's kind of a low, no cost option. And then no cost remote care. This is kind of interesting. There's a program called Ally Health, which employees can take voluntary. You can offer voluntary or employer paid. It's 100% remote care. So you can talk to a doctor, you can get a prescription, you can talk to a psychiatrist, all through your smartphone or on your computer, super, super low dollars. And, you know, it's not a benefit, it's a service. So say if you have a large part-time population, like a restaurant or a resort, right? Something like that. You can roll out these types of virtual care programs.
So it's a teledoc, doc in a box.
Exactly.
And I mean, it's an interesting model for sure. It's kind of, I'm always used to, hey, I've known my primary care physician. Yep. I have this rapport with them. So it's interesting to have those conversations kind of with somebody gosh knows where, right? It's interesting kind of model.
It's different. Right? It's different. It's a different type of model. It doesn't replace your healthcare, but it's a way to offer some sort of benefit that's extremely low cost to the employer or no cost to the employer and something that your employees will truly value.
Yeah. That's really interesting. Those are good, you know, inexpensive benefits. And they're in healthcare world, right? I mean, that's a health benefit is having access to that kind of thing. It's not like you can do that any other way. I mean, And most of those folks that are uninsured are probably going to the ER, right? Which is costing them 100 times more than anything else, right?
Yeah. You know, that's what the virtual care platforms will say is the return on investment is that, you know, I don't know if it's actually there, right? But they'll say, you know, by pushing employees to using the virtual care apps, it will save on your overall experience. And again, I'm talking large customers, but you know, I don't know if that's 100% true, but what I do value about those virtual care programs is that they're a service, not a benefit, and it can be offered to anyone. So temporary, seasonal, part-timers, it's just people are always looking for something to offer to that employee group. Mm-hmm. And if you made it employer paid, it's really low dollars and you can automatically enroll and it's one flat rate and you're, you know, the seasonal employee, their entire family can utilize the app for about, gosh, I don't know. I think it was like $10 a week or something like that. Right. So it's a low dollars.
So those low cost kind of things are really great tools in the toolbox for yep. employers. But, you know, what are employers doing to educate their clients or their employees about, you know, the different plans and how you manage those and that kind of thing?
I would say I would lean on your broker and I'll talk about that in a second, but I'd also lean on the carrier apps and their websites. You know, they've all invested tons of money into their websites and they're all pretty slick at this point, whether you need to find, like we were talking about before, virtual care, in-network providers. There's so many programs that are available to you, whether you enroll with United Healthcare, Harvard Pilgrim, Aetna, Anthem, Blue Cross, CHO, Right Cigna. They all have a specific wellness program tied mm-hmm. to, you know, whether it's reimbursement for fitness classes, things like that, right? That you may not really know about, but
it's included in your plan.
Exactly. You're already kind of paying for it. So you got to take advantage of these programs, that these add-ons that they have available to you. And when I first said lean on your broker, you know, really they can do educational sessions for your employees, whether it's at open enrollment or sometime throughout the year. Say, hey, you know, we'd love to build a slide deck that just talks about kind of the value adds of our programs, sure. right? All that stuff's available to you. And, you know, at Acadia Benefits, of course, we've done recordings for customers, new hires, hey, we have this new hire. You send them a link, talks through all the benefits, right? It really educates them on what's available to them as opposed to, you know, you trying with all everything else that you're doing, trying to educate them on what benefit package is available to them.
That's great. Yeah, I think that's really important. It's certainly educating the employee population. You know, I think everyone says, what am I paying for? This is so expensive. I go to the doctor, I still have to pay. I have to pay. But I think trying to create that value is really important.
Right? Absolutely.
So what kind of, trends are you seeing in the industry? Where are things headed? What's, you know, what's new? What's old? Where are things going?
Yeah. So I don't want to speak specifically to Maine. But of course, throughout the country, we have inflation on everything. The cost of care goes up every single year. I would probably put medical and pharmacy trend between 9 to 11% every single year. So, you know, when customers come to us and they say, you know, why am I getting a 10% increase every single year? It's the cost of pharmacies. It's the cost to get your to receive care. It's the cost of everything that they have at the hospital, right? It's everything is increasing every single year. And I would kind of start to think of the insurance companies as the middleman. They're taking a cut of the
sure.
of profit, of course. But remember, they're insuring what you're covering, right? They're paying out claims. So if you go to the doctor is filing that claim with the insurance company, they're paying out that cost and you're paying for that as well, right? So they are the middleman between that. So as things increase around the world, they're going to up their charges to cover their expenses as well. And state mandates, I think, is a big one as well, right? We've seen that here in Maine. When you start to introduce different programs that have to be covered by the medical plan, it's great. It's a better benefit for employees and the population as a whole, but someone has to pay for it.
The cost goes up.
The cost goes up. So you may be getting a greater benefit, but you're going to be paying more in premium over time.
Sure.
And state mandates, federal mandates, they really end up driving a ton of the increases that we're seeing.
You talked a lot about the virtual care, but one of the things I think we've seen a lot here in Maine particularly is kind of the introduction of direct primary care. And mm-hmm. and certainly, you know, there are doctors that just don't take insurance anymore.
Yep.
Right? Hey, pay me my monthly fee. Pay me when I come, right? Keep me on retainer. Are you seeing clients kind of go that route and try to pair a higher deductible plan for those catastrophic things and use those? Have you seen a lot of that?
Yeah, you know, it's for specific employers. You know, some companies that have had their core benefit in place for a long time, it's tough to make that change. Sure. We see some new kind of startup companies kind of utilizing those types of different programs. As you know, Maine is slow to react to things. Mm-hmm. All right. So a lot of our out-of-state customers are doing some different things. But, you know, Maine as a whole, the Northeast as a whole, change is slow.
Absolutely.
So we see most things happening in other parts of the country. They will be trickling into the Northeast for sure. But we still see a lot of our employers offering those core offerings. Yeah. And
I think it's what your employees expect.
Exactly.
Right. I think, you know, it's been for so long, the, you know, health insurance in particular has been tied to the employer. Mm-hmm. And it's our responsibility. You know, we see from a payroll perspective, we see a lot more clients offering like a QCERA, which is a qualified HRA
yep.
for under 50 employees. It allows them to give them a stipend every month to go buy the insurance on the marketplace, mm-hmm. which sometimes is cheaper, right?
Yep.
Certainly that's not allowed in the larger group settings, but definitely with the smaller groups, that's an option that's out there.
Yeah, so, we've seen a lot of employers consider the ICHRA.
And those two, the ICHRAs, yeah.
Right. And, you know, I would say in the small group market, the ICHRA over time really won't save you a ton of dollars. You're still going to have to raise your contribution as the individual marketplace raises their rates. What I've seen is for a large employer that's experience rated, with the ICHRA, what you can do is that there's a bunch of different rules where you can class out certain portions of the population, whether it's salary, hourly, by location, different items like that. So if you had a population that you identified that was really driving claim costs, mm-hmm. with the ICHRA, you can move that population back into the individual marketplace, thus kind of taking them off of your experience. So we've seen large employers utilize that tactic to help lower claims costs. It's aggressive, right? But these are types of different tactics that you can use as a large employer
yeah.
To really lower your overall spend while still offering a great benefit for yep. your employees, right? You still keep that employer contribution high for that ICHRA. But they aren't on your claims experience anymore.
Right. Sounds like a puzzle.
Yeah.
It's like, how do we keep this all squared
yep,
away, right?
Yep,
I mean, it
yep.
gets more and more complicated as things get mm-hmm. more and more complicated, right? I think, you know, one of the trends that we've talked about in all of our, you know, most recent podcasts is it's just harder and harder to do business as a small business owner because
yep.
things are getting more and more and more complicated where, you know, we have to focus on everything. You have to mm-hmm. focus on making the widget and you have to focus on taking care of your people and everything that goes along with
of
that.
Course.
So it's definitely been a challenge, of course. But
the last part about trends is really pharmacy costs. So pharmacy costs is exploding and it's the trend is much greater than your medical spend. So, you know, what it costs for you to go visit your primary care physician really hasn't changed in 15, 20 years. It's gone up slightly, right? But it really hasn't changed a right. ton. Pharmacy costs have skyrocketed. What the cost is to get a prescription is extremely expensive to what it used to be. And, you know, for a small employer, you're not experience rated, but it will still affect your premiums in the overall scheme of things, the
sure.
overall trend and increase. Again, we've talked about that small employers, you have canned plans available to you. It's rigid. And what you've probably seen the past couple of renewals is that every year the carrier tweaks your plan, right? And some of the major tweaks that you'll see is to that pharmacy benefit, right? The past couple of years, we've seen tiers 3 and 4 are subject to deductible now when they used to not be, right? Mm-hmm. Or they've added a deductible coinsurance with a script max of, say, $300 or $500.
Mm-hmm.
What that's doing is that the insurance companies are trying to protect themselves as much as they can from those tier 3, tier 4, tier 5 drugs that are extremely expensive.
Sure.
Right. Tier 1, tier 2 generic medications, they're still at your copay. You can still use, you know, coupon codes to get those drugs cheaper. These high tier prescription drug costs that you know we've seen on experience reports running, say, $85,000 a month, right? These drugs are saving people's lives. So we have to remember that.
Sure.
So that's why they're there. It's great. You're providing a benefit for your employees that's really saving someone's life. On the flip side as well is that, you know, these drugs are driving a ton of cost on your plan. They're increasing premium rates every single year. So by designing a program, say having a specific drug deductible, you know, you have to meet $1,000 before you pay that copay, things like that.
Yep.
That can kind of start to tweak your rates to help save employer dollars as well.
Interesting. That's crazy. Just the prescription.
That's the prescription drug is a rabbit hole. Again, in the small group market, it's rigid. There's not a lot you can do strategy wise. As you get into the large group market, you can tweak plan design. You can tweak, you know, the formulary that you offer,
sure,
whether it's a premium formulary or a value formulary, kind of covering different sort of drugs. And then we're not going to go down this rabbit hole, but if you're a large self-funded employer, there's tons of options available to you, whether you kind of carve out your own prescription drug benefit manager, mm-hmm, your own PBM to manage claim costs, things like that. But again, primarily,
that you need someone to manage in-house, right?
Absolutely.
You know, those are way bigger than most, you know, most of our clients and things we're thinking about. But yeah, no, I think there's a lot to this, and I'm just, my brain's kind of spinning, just mm-hmm, thinking about all the different kind of ways to manage benefits for small businesses.
I think,
you know, we didn't even talk about some of the other ones, you know, disability plans and life and
all
those kind of things.
Right,
there's so many options out there.
Mm-hmm.
And again, some of them are relatively low cost.
Absolutely.
You know, certainly we talked about, you and I talked a little bit about, you know, the paid family medical leave stuff kind of sweeping the country. And that's certainly something that's going to change the landscape, you know, coming across too. And we'll have to get back together to talk about that.
We can talk about that. We're going to talk about that again at some point, because there's the rulemaking process is still happening now today, but there's a few things that we do know and still subject to change.
Sure.
Right. Everything's subject to change, but the maximum contribution per employee is going to be about 1%. Of the individual wage rate. And that's going to change depending on your employer size. I believe was it 15 employees.
It's all going to change. That's the thing.
Yep.
And I think, you know, really what's going to happen is businesses are going to have to figure out if it's worth going into a state plan like that. Or I know there's a lot of exclusions that potentially could say, hey, if you have a plan, a short-term disability plan in place already, you may be able to exempt yourself from kind of the state plan. But certainly that's a whole different conversation for a whole different day and how that's going to all work. So.
Yeah, I would say timeline-wise, right? We're saying November of 24 is when employers need to decide whether they'd like to jump into the state pool or decide if they want to stay in a private carrier setting, right? If you have a short-term disability policy in place already, I would lean on that carrier and your broker to make sure we kind of design your STD policy that meets the criteria, what the state is asking you to do. And the good thing about that, about waiting, is that, right, that payroll tax starts in 25.
It'll start in January, right?
Right. So if you go with the private plan, you know, your premiums due for the employers is not going to start till May of 26.
Right.
So there's going to be a big gap there where you can save some dollars, of course, depending on what that carrier is going to charge you to manage the plans. So there's a lot of stuff up in the air still. We know that a lot of our customers with short-term disability policies in place today are probably going to lean on their private carriers, but it remains to be seen.
Still so much to know about that. Still much to learn for sure. So. Well, good. Well, thank you very much, Connor. This has been really good.
We
covered a lot of ground, and like I said, my head's spinning for sure. So, how do people find you if they want to get in touch with you? Instagram, you know, Facebook, anything like that?
Yeah, you know,
email. How do people get in touch with you if they have questions to follow up?
You can go to our website, right? You can find us there. You can find me on LinkedIn as well.
That's Connor Kennedy.
Connor Kennedy. Acadia Benefits, right? So Acadia Benefits, just a little bit about us. We've been managing benefit plans for over 32 years. We're based right in Portland, Maine. We're independently owned and operated. And, you know, we have a lot of long-term customers. We've been doing this for a long time. We think we do a great job. So feel free. Absolutely. Reach out to me, LinkedIn, through our website, and we'll get back to you and see what we can do for you.
Awesome. Great. Well, thank you. So again, be sure to like, follow, subscribe to all of our channels, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen or watch. We're there, I promise. Don't forget to email us any questions if you have questions about future things you'd like to hear, podcast@papertrails.com. Otherwise, we will see you next week. Thanks so much. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Small Business, Big World. This podcast is a production of Paper Trails. We are a payroll and HR company based in Kennebunk, Maine, and we serve small and mid-sized businesses across New England and the country. If you found this podcast helpful, don't forget to follow us at Paper Trails Payroll across all social media platforms, and check us out at papertrails.com for more information. As a reminder, the views, opinions, and thoughts expressed are the hosts and guests alone. The material presented in this podcast is for general information purposes only and should not be considered legal or financial advice. By inviting this guest to our podcast, Paper Trails does not imply endorsement of or opposition to any specific individual, organization, product, or service.